By reading from the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11, and it is quite a lengthy passage, but bear with me as we read through God's word together. Hebrews chapter 11, this is, in many circles is known as the great hall of faith, because of the names of people that are mentioned. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father, because he considered him faithful who made the promise. And so from this one man, and he is as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would not have had the opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover in the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I don't have time to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful and rooted foreign enemies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they may gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned, they were sodden too, they were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith. Yet none of them received what God had promised. God had planned something better for us so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Boys and girls, big boys and girls, wonderful words that tell us a story of many of the great people of faith in Scripture, and that call and reminder for us to look to Jesus above all else. And that's what you've been learning this year. That's what I want to tell you a little bit more about as we go through this morning. But you know, who likes to play hide and seek? Yes. I used to like to play hide and seek when I was a boy, and you know the game well. Somebody would be chosen to be it. They would close their eyes and stand in the corner and they'd count to 100. By the time I got a little bit older, it became, I'm giving you a cheat here, by the way. So if you don't like cheating, close your ears. I used to do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, miss a few, 99, 100. And then I got them all because they weren't hiding by the time I caught them. But hide and seek is that wonderful game where you count to a number and everybody else scarpers and hides and you go off and try and find them. It's great fun. And when I think about hide and seek, I think of one of my favorite films. And one of my favorite films is The Chronicles of Narnia. And if you've never watched it, then get your mums and dads to sit down with you and you can watch it together. A family of four children are sent away during the war to the countryside. They're evacuated from the big city to go to the safe and quiet little places. And these four children, this family, go to this couple who stay in this big house, and it's an old house, and it's a little bit scary house as well, I think. But they decide to play hide and seek, and they go off exploring. And here's what happens as Lucy tries to find a place to hide, and you'll hear in the background, if you listen very carefully, her brother counting towards 100 as well. But let's just watch this video clip and see what happens. Need to wait till after. Go home and watch it this afternoon. As Lucy looks inside the wardrobe, she discovers something that she wasn't expecting. She discovered something new and something wonderful. A whole new world covered in snow. And later on in the film, they meet Aslan, the wonderful lion who helps them save the world from the wicked Queen Ice Witch. We look at history and we discover wonderful things. And you know, when we open our Bibles, we're a bit like Lucy going inside that wardrobe. We discover new and wonderful stories. We look at history and discover it's his story, it's Jesus' story right through all of the pages of the Bible. And our children have been learning about that this year. And explorers earlier in the year, they went on a journey through the Bible. They thought on some of those who were in Jesus' family tree. They looked at people whose lives pointed us towards Jesus and prepared the way for his coming. The navigators too, during the year, have looked at many different things to do with the Bible, to do with Jesus, to do with living our Christian lives. And so this morning, I want to take us on a little bit of a whistle-stop journey through the Bible. And to do that, I'm going on holiday this summer. No, I'm not. I'm going on sabbatical. Better get that right, or you'll be changing your minds. Whenever we go on holiday, we always take things with us, don't we? So I thought we would tell a story or two using some of my belongings for my holiday. Now, I have to say, I doubt very much I'll get 4 and a bit weeks in Tenerife in a case like that, but we'll see how we go. Suitcase is the first thing to think about. And whenever I see a suitcase, I think about somebody going on a journey, somebody heading off somewhere. And one of the first people in the Bible to actually go on a journey was a man called Abraham. And in Genesis chapter 12, early on in the Bible, we read of God coming to Abraham and telling him of great plans that he had for him. And it says this in Genesis 12, it says, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." Abraham was told by God to pack everything up and to go on a journey. The place where Abraham stayed at that time wasn't a great place. The people had turned away from God. They were busy doing their own thing. They worshipped idols. In particular, they worshipped some false god, a moon god called Nannar. That always reminds me of those of you who are old enough to remember the Teletubbies or the Tweenies. Who had Nunu in it? Teletubbies. See, somebody's on the ball. The Teletubbies had Nunu the Hoover. And whenever I think of Nannar, the moon god, I always think of this little thing in Teletubbies. Listen, the place where Abraham stayed wasn't a great place. That's the upshot of it. And I don't think Abraham particularly was even sure about knowing God at that stage. But God came to him, and God called him and spoke to him and told him he was to go away from that place. And in this, I think we've got a picture of our lives too, boys and girls, and bigger boys and girls here this morning, because actually, we were lost as well. We were lost in our sin. We didn't know God, and we certainly didn't follow after God. We were doing our own thing and enjoying it. And God comes to us, and he calls us to follow him. He calls us to turn from our sin, to trust him, and to seek after him. And isn't that an amazing thing? God, the God who made this world and everything in it, who made the mountains and the hills and the trees, who made those beautiful flowers that we pick and we smell from the side of the path, the God who made everything knows us. And he comes to each one of us individually, and he says, "Listen, I want you to leave behind all of that stuff, and I want you to follow me. I want you to trust me. I want you to look to me." Abraham did not deserve God's love, but God gave it to him. And God loves each one of us, and he wants us as well. He wants to save us. How much does he love us? He loves us so much, as well know from what we talk about all the time in church, that he sent Jesus to die on the cross to save us. Jesus paid the price for our sin. God forgives our sin. God comes into our lives, and he wants us to follow after him. So, suitcase. We go off on a journey. Abraham, one of the first folks in the Bible and his family, went on a journey, and they followed God. So if you're wanting something to remember this morning, remember about following God. Since it's holiday time, let's see what I can find. Yes, holiday time, I get to wear my loud shirts. Actually, I get to wear loud shirts most of the time, because that's just who I am. Bright, colorful shirt. When we think of bright, colorful shirts, we think of a bright, colorful coat. And this would probably be a better idea for you. This is a beautiful scarf that somebody gave to Rebecca. And you can see all the wonderful colors on it. I was going to try and pronounce the name that was given to me for the type of scarf it is. That's the one. Who in the Bible, boys and girls, got a coat of many colors? Let's see how many hands we can get up here. Who in the Bible got a coat of many colors? Oh, we've got quite a few hands on the go here. Excellent. Abigail. Sorry? Joseph. Absolutely. Joseph had a coat of many colors. Joseph was a man who trusted God. Joseph had a dream, When he was a young man, he had a dream that everybody would bow down to him. He knew he was going to be a great leader amongst the people. His brothers didn't like him, and they certainly didn't like the dream that he had. And so they took him, and they threw him down a pit, and they were thinking about killing him. But one of his brothers suddenly thought, that's a bit too steep. Maybe we shouldn't go quite that far. And so they ended up selling him into slavery. But despite this, Joseph kept trusting God. Joseph was sold to an Egyptian captain who put him in charge of his household. He did this, it tells us, in Genesis 39, just so we make sure we're always going through the Bible here. Genesis 39, the master did this because his master saw that the Lord was with Joseph and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did. Joseph trusted God, and God blessed him, and God looked after him, and God prospered him. Joseph had more troubles, though, didn't he? Joseph ended up in prison, and then he became prime minister of the whole country. And in the end, he ended up helping save a whole lot of people from famine and from death. His brothers were reunited with him as they came hunting for food, and they got a little bit frightened, thinking, what's he going to do to us? But Joseph was able to say in Genesis 50, he said, listen, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. Joseph trusted God, and he followed God, and God blessed him. And friends, that same thing can be true for each one of us. God calls for us to follow him, and God calls for us to trust him. Why trust him? Because he loves us and he wants the very best for us. He promised to bless Abraham and all his descendants after him. He saved us from our sin and will lead us into heaven. And that's why we can trust him as well. So first two things, suitcase, going on a journey, and we remember we're to follow God. My colorful shirt and Rebecca's colorful peshmir. I was about to say peshwari. But that sounds like something you get in the Indian, doesn't it? Beautiful colored scarf. We'll play safe. Reminding us of Joseph, who trusted God despite all the things that happened in his life. So let's be following God. Let's be trusting God. And as we think about a whole lot of history, I think it's time to sing a song, boys and girls, so that you can do the actions. So let's stand up. And if you want to come into the middle to do them, you can do that. And Rebecca's going to help us all through history. Let's stand together, one and all. This isn't scripted, so who knows what's going to happen. Jessica? Sorry? Is there pants inside? See? I told you I had no idea where this was going to go when you do something silly. There should be, but I haven't packed them yet. Oh, no. I knew this was a disaster. Michael? Bible. Good answer. We'll come back to that one. Matthew? There's a socks in there. There ought to be socks in there, but there's not yet. Rebecca? A hat. Now, that would be a sensible thing for me, wouldn't it? Naomi? Sorry? Another hat. Oh, I like to have plenty of hats. Hats are important things. Joe? A water bottle. Well, that'd be a sensible thing to carry as well, wouldn't it? Kayla, sun cream, that would be sensible. We'll get to that in a minute as well. Mia, did you have your hand up? Sunglasses, they would be sensible too. Anyway, none of you have got what's next. How poor is that? Got my flip-flops. Need to have my flip-flops because the ground abroad gets really, really hot. And so it's important to be able to pop them on for wandering down to the pool and having a little swim. Pop them down to the chair so I can sit and read my books carefully on holiday. Now, do you remember the story of somebody in the Bible who had sandals on and was told to take their sandals off? Michael? Moses, absolutely. And who can remember? Moses was out one day looking after his sheep, and he was told to take off his sandals, but what did he see? What did Moses see the day he was told to take his sandals off? What did he see? Michael? A burning bush. You've been learning well. You've got good parents, good teachers and navigators. Moses saw a burning bush. And you know, burning bushes weren't all that unusual in that part of the world because it was hot and it was dry. But this burning bush was a little bit different because this burning bush, normally a bush would burn out and it would shrink to nothing and it'd be gone and the fire would stop and that'd be the end of it. But this bush kept on burning and burning and burning. And so Moses went a little bit closer to investigate. And as he got a little bit closer, here's what it says in Exodus chapter 3. God speaks to him and he says, "Moses, Moses, do not come any closer. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." And so Moses did that, and he listened in to what God had to say to him. And God said, "Listen, I've heard all about my people. I've heard their groaning and their grumbling. I've heard about the pain that they're in and the suffering that they're going through. And I'm coming to help them. I'm going to rescue them." And then he said in verse 10 of Exodus 3, he said to Moses, "So now go, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." Moses was to go and, having followed God like Abraham, having trusted God like Joseph, he was now ready to be serving God. And so Moses was to go and to help the people. But you know, Moses is just like you and me, boys and girls, and bigger boys and girls. Moses just got a little bit, he got a little bit scared. And he thought, "I can't do this." And he made up lots of excuses. Who makes excuses up when mom asks you to tidy your bedroom? There's a few honest children, and a few less so this morning. We make excuses sometimes, don't we, when we don't want to do something. Moses said, "Listen, I'm a nobody. I don't count for anything." He says, "I don't have all of the answers that the people will need." He says, "Listen, I can't even speak very well. I keep getting my words all mixed up and saying the wrong things. Listen, there needs to be somebody better qualified to do this than me." But God called him anyway. And Moses went on, as we know through the Bible, through all that we've learned. He went on to lead the people out of Egypt, through the Red Sea and into the wilderness. And we make excuses too, don't we? All of us make excuses. We get scared that our friends will laugh at us or make fun of us, or that we'll stumble over our words or forget what it is we really want to say. Some of us even think, do you know what? The job of telling other people about Jesus belongs to the pastor. But it doesn't. The job of the pastor is to encourage you all and to equip you all, to teach you all, so that you can all go out and tell other people about it. So isn't that a great thing? We've all to go. So we've been saved by God so that we can follow him, so that we can trust him, and so we can serve him as well. Now, somebody said two important things. Somebody said a hat, which is very important for me, and somebody also said the other thing which is important for me, my sun cream. Factor 50, no less, because if not, this little bit just gets a little bit red. Do you know, we were on the beach yesterday, and I looked out of the house in the morning, boys and girls, and I looked out, and it was like this. It was all cloudy. And I said, "Ugh, I'm not bothered putting sun cream on today." And then we got to the beach, and it was still a bit cloudy, but the sun began to come, and then it went, and it came, and it went. And there was a nice breeze off the sea, and I thought, this is great. And then driving home in the car, I said to Morag, "Look at my arms." And they were red. Too much sun. So you need sun cream to protect you. And when I think about following God, trusting God, and serving God, I remember that God promises to protect us as well. And when I think of God's protection, I think of a man called David. And David served God and followed God and trusted God, and God looked after him. David wrote some great words in the Bible. He wrote the songs that we know as the Psalms, speaking of God being his shelter and his strength. David was the youngest in his family. I wonder if you remember that. And he was left to look after the sheep. And God protected him. And he protected them so much so that when the lions came and the wolves came and the bears came, David was able to stand up strong and to save the sheep. Later on, he went to fight a giant. Who remembers the giant's name that David fought against? Ross. Goliath. Absolutely. Big Goliath. And David wasn't scared. He knew that God was with him. He knew that God would save him. He knew that God would protect him. And big Goliath looked down at little David and he laughed. And little David went and he got 5 stones and he put them in his pocket. and he took his sling and he went out to meet Goliath, and Goliath looked down again and he laughed. And David took a stone and he put it in his sling and he swung it round and round and round and let it go. And the stone hit big Goliath right there, and big Goliath fell to the ground. That was the end of big Goliath. God protected David. God also protected David later in his life when the king was jealous of him and wanted to kill him. And then later when David's own son wanted to take over his father's throne, God protected him. David knew God's protection. And God promised David that he would always have a ruler on his throne as well. He said, I'm going to protect your kingdom forever. In 2 Samuel 7:16, it says, your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established always. He was pointing the way to Jesus, the true son of David. And the whole Bible points towards Jesus, doesn't it? And so, boys and girls, bigger boys and girls, God protects us too when we follow him, when we trust him, and when we're serving him as well. He said that he will never leave us and he'll never forsake us. So we need to keep on going. And there's two more things in my suitcase, but we'll do those in a little while. We're going to sing again, and we're going to sing Spin. This is a bit of an energetic song, it has to be said. So let's see you boys and girls doing all of the actions. And some of you bigger boys and girls look as if you could help out as well this morning. So let's stand, and we'll follow Rebecca again. Let's dive back in to my suitcase. And somebody mentioned this. Important thing always to take on my holidays with me is my Bible. I do tend to take a smaller one on holiday with me than a normal bigger one. Maybe that's just for space in the case. Also, a different translation is normal. So it's good to read and to learn from God's Word. The explorers have been on that journey through God's Word this year. They've learned lots about people who followed God, people who trusted God, people who served God and were protected by God. They learned that these people point us to Jesus and that Jesus is our Savior, that He died on the cross to save us and to let us be in a relationship with Him. The Bible is His story. It tells us of God's love from the very beginning to the very end. There's so much in the Bible for us to learn. And so I put that in there because it's important for me, myself, to be able to keep reading and learning from God's Word. But I wanted to encourage each one of us, from the youngest to the oldest, to keep our Bibles and to keep reading them over these summer months. From the youngest to the oldest, we can do that. And Fiona's going to give you some stuff in your prize giving later that will help you to keep reading and to keep learning from this wonderful book. So we need our Bibles when we go on holiday as well. And if you go on holiday without your Bible, then consider yourself rebuked this morning. One last thing. Any guesses, actually? One last thing in my suitcase. And we've had fun stuff and silly stuff. And Michael, shorts. That would be a wonderful idea. They need to go in at some stage. Although somebody would tell you my legs aren't that good. Rebecca, passport would be a wonderful thing to have as well. Absolutely. And I should have thought about that, actually. That would have been quite smart. Yes. A comb. Is your dad putting you up to that? Is your dad putting you up to that? A comb would be a wonderful thing. My days of using a comb are long gone. Wonderful guess. Listen, before I get any more abuse, a pen. Why might I take a pen in my holidays? To write notes. That's a wonderful thing, to write notes about what I'm reading and learning. One other thing. Evie, to draw. Now, that would be a good thing if I could draw, but my drawing skills aren't that good. But yes, Kayla, I could write about something in my holiday, absolutely, so that I might want to write a postcard. That's not a very good postcard. I'll find a much better one on my holidays to send back. But you know, we have wonderful news to share. When we go on our holidays, we want to write back and tell everybody how much they're missing being with us, how much it's really sunny when we're abroad in Tenerife and you're back here and typical Scottish weather. What's it going to be doing when I'm on my holidays? It'll be raining here. So I'll send you a postcard saying, beautiful in the sunshine. lovely down by the beach, having a wonderful time eating out at all these restaurants, having a wonderful time being looked after when I'm away. But we have great news. But you know, we have better news, boys and girls, and we've learned about it all year through as we've been learning the Bible. We've learned about God and His love for us, and that's great news. And we shouldn't want to keep that to ourselves. We want to share that with other people. And so Jesus, before He left earth, said to His disciples in Acts 1 and 8, He said, "Listen, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." They were to go, and they weren't just to write postcards. They were actually to go and tell people all about God's love for them. And that's what I want to encourage us to do. So friends, the Bible is full of God's story. It's full of His instructions for us to live life by. It tells us of His love for us. Such a great love that He sent Jesus to die on the cross to save us. It tells us of a hope to come, that hope that we have of a place in heaven with Him. We are all on a journey through life. So I want to be encouraging us all this morning, from the very youngest to the very oldest in here, to be following God just as Abraham did, to be trusting God just as Joseph did, to be serving God just as Moses did, and to allow God's protection to be on us as David did. We need to keep learning more of God, and we need to be telling others all about Him. And as we think about all of that today, you will have seen on your chair when you came in, and if you didn't see it on your chair when you came in, you're probably sitting on it right at this moment in time. You will have seen a little postcard. It's a little smaller than most postcards, but everything's shrinking in the recession, postcards included. And I put a Bible verse in the front that reminds us what we're all about. And it says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." And I want you to do one of three things this morning before you go away. And if you've got a pen, you can use it. And if you don't have a pen, then somebody at the back will take that tin of felt tips around and pass them out to you. I want you to do one of three things. I want you either to write on the back that you're going to commit yourself to reading the Bible all summer long, which would be a wonderful thing to do. So you could write a wee thing, "I promise to read my Bible." Would be a great thing. Or you might want to think about some friends who you would really love to know Jesus and to know all about the Bible stories as well. And what I want you to do is I want you to write one or two or three names on the back, and then I want you to be praying for those people over the summer that they would seek God and that they would find Him. So it's either your own commitment or a few names for people you want to be praying for. Or thirdly, you could actually just write a note, and you could say, so if you've got a friend or a brother or a sister or an auntie or an uncle or whatever, and you want them to come to church with you next week, you could write on the back, "Please come to a wonderful service in our church next Sunday. The minister's absolutely brilliant." Well, maybe not. But you could write, "Come to church with me next Sunday, please." And you could write to whoever it is and from. So that's one of three things you can do. So take a quick minute to think about which one you want to do. Are you promising to read your Bible? Are you going to pray for somebody? Or are you going to invite somebody to church? And get your pens out of your pockets and write them. And if you don't have a pen, wave your hand and Bill will run around. I'm saying Bill. Who's got the? Oh, Craig's got them. Craig's got the pens there at the back. Craig and Andrew will hand them around if you need a pen. Do that quickly in the next couple of minutes. Don't take a lot of time.